Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, hear the praise and the worship in our heart. And Lord, thank you for the abundant loving kindness that we have. Thank you for the provisions. Please watch over us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. It's so natural that we want to know what will happen in the future, whether it's tomorrow or a year from now. And we always hope for the blessings to come. But we all know that there can be one trouble after another also. We are all different, and we all make choices and get the consequences of our choice. Experience in life shapes our choices, and so does the family we grew up in. I know I've had close family that went through the Great Depression of the 1930s, and at that time, there just wasn't much abundance of anything. I remember how those older people would save rubber bands or string rolled up on a ball. It's just surprising that we are not in that position at all today. We have children and grandchildren, and what do? They might throw something away that's not even halfway used up, and we just kind of marvel at the differences. Well, most of us have a little bit of both of those characteristics, where we want to save everything, and we want to toss out the things that no longer have meaning. It's life experience, and that just goes with the territory, and somehow we make decisions about everything, and that's what happens in life. We evaluate our needs and our wants, and then we make decisions. I remember how things have gone and through changing times where we are more careful with everything or less careful. It's about our human experience. It's about our family experience. And then we make the choices. We get the consequences. And we evaluate all of it. Decisions, decisions. I know that these different attitudes will make different decisions. For instance, a young mom might say, I need a job so I can buy food and furniture and gas for the car. And the grandma might say, my time is precious with the babies of the family. And it's an opportunity to put love into those future generations. Babies are so precious. So what happens? We all value things a little bit different. We might value the things that we work for, and we might value the time with those babies. Different generations have different values, and we all get to deal with that in these days. Modern times, modern values, and somehow we get the consequences of all that. And the idea is to really examine what those consequences are and make reasonable, thoughtful decisions. And we do. We do. But pretty much if we look back, we could say, I would have made a different decision. And it's just things are changing. I mean, if you look at back in World War II time, you know, right after the Great Depression, you had a society that was so different. There was a difference between overland mail and air mail, and you paid extra to have things delivered by an airplane. And now just everything goes so fast. We can talk to people in an instant, whereas that didn't used to be the case in those years gone by. I know that I'm thinking about the children. You know, the young children these days, they have more and more, what they call it, screen time, where they watch on an electronic device or a computer. You know, before this COVID problem, the children averaged 4 hours per day of screen time. And now after COVID, the average is 8 hours a day for screen time with younger children. So things change. Things change, and there are consequences, and we're trying to understand the consequences so that we can all make good decisions. Consequences, they happen. It just like that was the consequences for the children and our next generation. More screen time, less personal communication time. And now for adults with this COVID situation, there's consequences for that too. Drug death overdoses have increased by half again as much. Violence has increased dramatically in many, many areas of the country. So all these things are a result of the decisions that we make. We have shortages based on what we have done. We have allowed our supply chain to be disrupted. It used to be in good working order, but now there's been this and that that have caused our supply chain to be disrupted. Consequences. And that is what we all want to do, is make good decisions, considering the consequences that there are. Well, the shortages that are going on are a matter of consequences also. But it's getting to be the point where people are concerned about what the shortages that are coming mean. And we've gone through shortages a little bit. Well, we remember the toilet paper shortage. Right about that same time, there was a shortage of long-term food and supplies and canning supplies. And then it happened that there was a computer chip shortage, and that stopped cars from being built, new cars from being built in the United States. And now there's shortages because of the 100 container ships that are off the West Coast, just in line, waiting to be unloaded. Consequences. And so we get to figure out what are we going to do about it. Speaking of those 100 container ships, when you kind of get a picture of what that means, it means there are 500,000 40-foot containers waiting to be unloaded and distributed to the stores in the United States. It's a shortage. All these containers are waiting to be unloaded and distributed. There are effects from the decisions we make. We don't recognize that the decisions we make are going to have the impact they do, but everything makes a difference. Just like we pass laws so that we will have clean air in California. Well, hooray, that's good. It's right and reasonable, but the stricter air quality regulations mean that the truckers don't want to invest in new electric California trucks. And so consequences from our decisions. unintended consequences. And how happy are all of us that we get to see how the government is waiting to help us? Yeah, it's just not happening, is it? They are not taking better care of us. There's consequences, and we have to be aware of the decisions we make for the long-term effects. And it's not always evident, but if we don't look, we won't even see what they are. So that's a part of what it is to be responsible and what it is to be guided by principles. And that's why we have biblical principles, because they last and last with a just form of decision making. Well, are we pleased with the decisions that have been made in the recent months and years, where we had businesses shut down, we had the schools shut down, and how about now the California governor is making decisions to, 2035. At that time, only new electrical vehicles will be sold in California. You won't be able to buy gas-powered cars and trucks. Another order that the governor of California made was to have no new gasoline small engines sold in California. So that means no more gas lawnmowers, no more gas golf carts or chainsaws or leaf blowers. They will not be able to be sold in California after 2 years from now. So it's a hard thing to know what our restrictions are going to do. And it's been a normal course of life that the people want things and the politicians agree, and so they make laws. But do the laws serve the people, or do the people serve the people who make the laws? Good question. It's really the problem is where this will eventually lead. And what is all this doing? It is promoting a system of, well, so many politicians, including Biden, have been saying, build back better. Okay, and that means we need to have things fall apart in order to build back better. And the World Economic Forum, which has so many of the rich and powerful attend it, including world political leaders, they are all in line for a great reset. And all these things mean expense and hardship for the people. But we think that the politicians are taking care of us. It doesn't look like it. It looks like there are unintended consequences from the decisions that are being made. It's easy to understand. We do it. They do it. The thing is we're supposed to live by the principles that are enshrined in the Constitution based on a Christian morality. And that's changing. And so things are changing in our country. Oh, we need a revival, right? Yeah, that would be good. That would be just what we need. And so in the meanwhile, what do we do with the people who want regulation upon regulation? Well, we keep them in California, and then everybody else can move out of California, right? Well, maybe not. So what do? Vote them out? Well, yeah, vote them out if our votes really matter. You know, for a long time, we've had the idea that our votes matter, and our votes are almost sacred, because it's a principle that we have in this republic. But if you look closer, you will remember the reports of vote manipulation. They've been going on for 50, 60 years, especially in the big cities, or the, call it labor, call it mafia-controlled cities. It's been known about. It's been written about. it just doesn't get a lot of publication. So if our votes matter, let's start with those votes. Let's get people really concerned about having our votes actually matter. And then we have to make sure that the votes are counted correctly. And that's been a problem that we have been seeing. And there have been people exposing the problems within our voting system. The evidence shows that there was great manipulation. The trouble is, who can you have this conversation with? Hardly anybody knows. Hardly anybody follows the internet connections that weren't supposed to be made. Hardly anybody follows. Well, just look at what's going on with Mike Lindell. He's making an issue about this, but he's getting countersued. He's getting, well, sued and countersued. And the people he is involved with are getting career problems. So there are forces at work, and we have to remember our position in this is to be faithful to our Christian principles and also to elect people that are faithful to Christian principles. I'm just thinking of the nephew of President Kennedy. His name is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And I was listening to something on YouTube that he said, or it was somehow it was posted and I got to see it. I'm not sure quite where now. But what he started out with was what his father told him. His father was a senator. And his father told him, people in authority lie. Well, yeah, at least some of them do. At least some of the time, right? That's kind of goes without saying. But we have a system where we are dependent on honesty and truth. And, of course, the politicians want to tell you they're all honest. They want to tell you that they are in the same tradition as George Washington. And he said, I cannot tell a lie. Remember that story? Well, they want to promote the righteousness within the system, but it's certainly not always there. Well, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he continued with his little saying for a few minutes. Here it is. Right now we are giving authorities power over us. They know our locations, where we are, and how we spend our money. And now we are giving them authority to impose unwanted medical interventions on human beings without informed consent. Government agencies are orchestrating us into obedience. This will enslave the entire human race and plunge us into a society where there is great suffering or injustice, where greed will destroy the lives and the dreams and the dignity of all of us, and all the things that we hope to give our children. Well, that Mr. Kennedy, he was concerned for the children, and a part of his concern was about the vaccines that we are giving. Vaccine-damaged people are all over the place. But we make these arguments, we make our understanding known, and then things change. It seems to be done on purpose. Oh, I remember there was, 20 years ago, there was a discussion of having thimerosal in the vaccines. Well, they got taken out, and then they got put back in, and they got taken out and put back in. Now, thimerosal, well, you see, the manufacturers will say, oh, there's no mercury in our injections because mercury is not listed as an ingredient. So they're right about that. Thimerosal is listed, and thimerosal is 49% mercury. So anyway, is it in our shots? Is it not in our shots? They pretty much took it out except for the flu shots. Oh, anyway, this vaccine question is a big question about what is it going to do to us and to our children. And you have to know that there's so many people who are opposing all sorts of injections. And now there are people who want to inject our 25 million children that are aged 5 to 11 with a COVID shot. Well, there's a lot of people who are opposed to it, but who makes the decisions? Whose payroll are they on? I don't know. Maybe they're just righteous people concerned for the children. But there's both sides of what concern for the children mean. Well, I'll tell you, for me, I don't want any man-made injections put into me. I don't want any spike proteins injected into me or my children, grandchildren, etc. Well, if you want a little idea about what professional people are saying about the injections, go back and listen to the last 10 minutes of the October 30th broadcast, what it means to have people injected. The October 23rd and the October 30th broadcasts are pretty interesting, at the last 10 minutes anyway. Well, anyway, Mr. Kennedy, John F. Kennedy Jr., he has proposed for years now that we are to be very careful about injecting our children with vaccines. And because of his concerns and how he publicly spoke out for that, he has been permanently banned from Instagram. And isn't that interesting that here we are, the freest nation on earth, and we are banning all sorts of people? It reminds me of book burning so that we limit the knowledge of the people. Well, you know, I say that, but I have to tell you, I have been to quite a few foreign countries, and we are a very free nation. It's just that we're not free according to what our expectations are. But we have such a wonderful country. We really do. And we want to keep it wonderful, and we want to keep it free. And a part of that is being able to talk over social media. And that is a big concern for how people are being banned if they have the wrong point of view, like that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. banned off of Instagram. Or, yeah, there was the President Trump also banned. There have been lots of people who have been banned. But the thing is we have to know that we value our freedom and move to the platforms that give us the freedom. Because there are things that are hurting us. There really are vaccine dangers. Again, if you listen to the last 5 or 10 minutes of those October 23rd and October 30th broadcasts, you'll get some ideas about that. Or listen to the whole October 30th broadcast. I had a lot of good response from that. Well, we do want a healthy life. We do want a wonderful life and a long life. And that is just what we want. It is important to us. Of course it is. So we want to do things right that don't harm us. So there's a big question of what is harming us. Lots of things are. Hey, I just thought about that October 30th broadcast, and I mentioned a Satanist on that broadcast who had become a sold-out, born-again follower of Jesus Christ. And I was thinking I wanted to add something to that, so I'm going to speak it now. Again, I met that fellow at a Christian booth at a book fair lots of years ago. And In that broadcast, I reported that he said he didn't know how long he was going to live. And I just thought I could have explained that a little better, so I'm going to. You see, as I said, he came from a Satanist Illuminati family. That is the family he was born into. And because he had turned from Satan to Jesus Christ, he would be given a period of time to return to Satan. And if he did not return, then it was normal in that culture, in that family, that that person would be sacrificed with torture and death because he had done the unforgivable. He had turned from Satan. So I wanted to explain why he was uncertain about how long he would live. Well, he said it in gentler words when I heard him talk about it, but it was clear that's what he was talking about. And he said they had let him live those extra years because he had not betrayed any of the ritual secrets. But there he was. He was then a sold-out, born-again follower of Jesus Christ. And what a testimony that was. He said he knew the power of both spiritual forces, both of Jesus and of Satan. And it was so obvious to him that Jesus was the power. So praise our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that we each would have faith so strong as his. Well, there's a lot going on in this world, and we do have decisions to make, and we want to make sure that Jesus is a part of our decisions, and so is the morality that Jesus represents, as the Bible talks about. So we do have joy in Jesus Christ. Always we have joy, and we want to feel that joy and show that joy to the people around us. We're Christians, and we need to show that love. I think of Paul in Philippians 4:8. There he was in prison, and he was focused on God. That gave him joy. And so he wrote, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything worthy of praise, then think on these things. And so, when we do that, we can have peace in God, even in the midst of a troubled world, or where Paul was, even in prison. So we want to be thankful for the Bible and for what Jesus Christ has done for us. Our God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. We want to spend time with him. That's an important part of our Christian fellowship, to spend time with God. Part of that is spending time in the Word. Part of that is spending time in prayer. Part of that is spending time with Christian fellowship. That is what we want to do. And we're told about doing this. It is what we want to do. I was thinking about, well, a week ago I was talking with just at Christians, okay? And one of those people had said, you know how those Orthodox churches were? They spend a whole lot of time at church and in a gathering. Why, they might have a whole day, Sunday, where they would be together, and they would often eat together. Or they would even have a meeting, maybe two meetings during the week. And what a difference it was from the normal Christian church, where we go to church for an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, and that fulfills our church obligation. And that is, what a difference between that and the Christian Orthodox churches, where they spend the whole day, plus a couple of times a week, in fellowship. Well, there are different Christian churches that do it different, and some of them have the same two other meetings a week during the weeknight. There are all different traditions within churches. And we're not to pass judgment on them. That's not the point. It's just that we are to evaluate what is in front of us and evaluate our life, evaluate how we are serving our Lord Jesus Christ. And that makes me think of Romans 14:4, which tells us we are not to judge another man's servant. And I relate that to the people with different Christian traditions. They follow Christ one way, and maybe we follow Christ a different way. But there it is, Romans 14:4. We are not to judge another follower. Well, this is the way I see it, another follower of Jesus Christ. Well, it is right to look at what we do and examine our life. That's a sort of a judgment. We can make judgments about those kind of things. Just especially don't judge the eternal judgment of God, because that's what God does. He judges the eternal life. And we make judgments about the little things in life, like how people live and what we want to be associated with. Well, it is a battle, and we have to make sure that we are on God's side. And that's not the same as God being on our side. It is us being on God's side through Jesus Christ. As we live through this life, we want to be strong in the power of God. Yeah, that's Ephesians 6:10. There's a scripture about the battle that's going on in 2 Kings 6:16, where Elijah is seeing that the hills are covered with angels and horses and chariots. It's a war. There's a war going on. And we have to be a part of the battle that is for the kingdom of God. Let us all stand tall in this spiritual battle, as we live faithfully to God Jesus. And it is a battle. It's a battle going on. And we have a lot of prayer that we can do for a lot of people that are in this battle also. Some of them are trying to figure out which general they're going to follow. And some of them are trying to stay true with the general. And some of them just have so many things going on in the battlefield that it's hard for them to focus on the General Jesus. So, prayer is so important. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. Just remember to think of people in prayer. I think that's always a good thing to do. And we can pray for people we know, people we don't know. Around the world, there are people getting martyred still. They're dying for their faith in Jesus Christ. And let's pray for them. Let's pray for the families that they leave behind. Let's pray for special grace and peace and love for those, well, the survivors is what I'm thinking of. There have always been martyrs. If you look at the ancient days, there have been martyrs. The olden days, yes, there too. And even nowadays, more martyrs than ever. Persecution is going on. If you look at the last few years, you can hear the report about Christians being persecuted. More reports in 2 years, anyway, from what I've observed, than there has been in the last 20 years. Persecution of Christians is increasing. And we have to pray for people who are representing God Jesus. And that includes the people in our a Christian family. It includes pastors. It includes, well, us. Sure, pray that we stay strong. Pray for the churches, but I really mean the family that is within those churches, including the pastor. We can pray for revival. That's good. And one of the things about persecution that I always think of is how persecution somehow increases the number of Christians that there are. So I think it's kind of a funny thing. Are we going to pray for revival? Well, does that mean that revival comes when people are persecuted? What are we praying for? I just wonder about it. Remember that the church is the people in the church. It is not the building. The building is convenient. It is nice. But much of the time in history past, we have had the church meet in people's homes. Home fellowships. That's been a normal thing. Church is not a building, but buildings are nice. I remember a church, a very plain church in Thailand. This image comes to me because it's a sweet image. It was a small, plain building, probably 25 by 35 feet, something like that. And you could tell that it was all done on a budget, but it was a church. There were about 35 people in it when I went there. They were poor, poor. You could tell that. You could see everything was poor there, and that's little town in Thailand. They did not speak any English, and I did not speak any Thai. But what was so noticeable about that church to me in my memory was the singing. The singing was, it was so wonderful. Beautiful, beautiful. So that is ingrained in my memory, and I am thankful for the beauty of people singing praises and worship to God, Jesus Christ. So the church is the people. It's not the building. Well, back to America. Let me think. We have local fellowships, and it is important to remember to pray for the people. And we want to pray for, yes, the growth of the church and that people come to know Jesus. Just make it that decision. Alter their life. That's what we want to see happen. And I was at a little talking after church, and there was people who were talking about making decisions in their life, and they had a major decision. This one couple had a major decision to make, and so prayer and fasting was suggested for them to do. And you know what? I noticed that prayer was just fine, but when the word fasting got said, well, there was just a little resistance to the idea of fasting. I understand. Fasting is not easy, and it's not fun to eliminate something from your life that you require to live, and that's food, I mean, or even the good food. Fasts are done in different ways. But the Bible does tell us about fasting. Yeah, so let me tell you about that. Matthew 17:21. This kind cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. So, that's in the Bible for a reason. Well, let me go back to that scripture. What had happened was there was a man who went, talked to the disciples and pleaded with them to cast the evil spirit out of his son. And the disciples tried to cast out that evil spirit that was in the son, but they could not. So after that, they asked Jesus why they were not able to cast the evil spirit out of his son. And Jesus said it was because of your unbelief. However, this kind of demon cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. I thought it was interesting that here Jesus is linking unbelief with a lack of prayer and fasting. So that is a subject worth pondering. But also interesting is how in a number of modern translations, this Matthew 17:21 is completely gone. That verse or a couple of verses there are just plain missing. Completely. They just skip a number from, for instance, verse 20 to 22. Missing. Let's see. It's missing from the ASV, American Standard Version. It is missing from the CEV, Contemporary English Version, and the Christian Standard Bible, and the New Century Version. So, yes, and of course, it is missing from the NIV version, the New International Version, which some people call the New Illuminati version. I know, it's not true. It is not the New Illuminati version. It is the New International Version, but people make a statement by saying that. Well, of course, people debate this and that. There are people who say that this was not stated clearly in the original transcripts, so they are not going to include that verse. That's one side of the story. The other side of the story says, well, of course, the devil does not want you to have a Bible that tells you how to cast out demons. So we have two different points of view. Which one are you going to follow? I don't know. But that is a part of the reason why I prefer the King James. I like King James for my personal reading, and I like the New King James for when I read it out loud to other people, because it's a little easier for people to follow. I know that that there are a few words that you have to learn if you are reading in King James. It's not so hard. It's just that you have to learn new definitions for, what, 5 words, maybe 10. It's not so hard. It's just that you have to do it. Oh, for instance, here's a word, smote. The word smote in the King James means hit. And it can be a soft hit, a hard hit, or a fatal hit. And you have to understand by the context what it means. Another word is host. You have to understand that a host means an army. So there's just a couple of words you have to learn if you're going to read the King James Version. But we can all learn new things. We can do it. And that's why some people say they prefer the new versions. But I mean, the NIV is not perfect either. For instance, in the King James, it uses the word porch. And the NIV uses the word portico. Well, I didn't use the word portico in my normal conversations. So, those other versions aren't perfect either. You have to learn what some other words are defined as. For whatever version you're using, just read that Bible. I know there's been plenty of people who have been saved by every version of the Bible. So you use what understanding you have, and you pray for the Holy Spirit to teach you and to transform your life. You pray for the Holy Spirit to transform the life of others. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So There's a little debate for which Bible versions to use. I remember back a long time ago, when I was trying to decide to read the Bible. You know, it's kind of an interesting story. I'll just tell you a little bit about it. I got to be 40 years old, and I realized that I had not read the Bible. I was a history guy. I had read lots and lots of books. Lots. But I'd never read the Bible, and the Bible was a good history book, and it made a difference in people's lives. So I wanted to know about it. And therefore, I had to research it. I'm sure I read 8-10 books just in researching the Bible before I read it. So then it came time to read it. I read it, and that put me on my path to becoming a Christian. That's for sure. So the Bible is a history book, but it's also a spiritual teaching. And boy, I just like the King James Version. That's what I found out from my reading. I like the King James Version, and that's what I prefer to read. There's other versions of the Bible that simplify the message. They leave things out. They might leave out 20, 30, 40 verses, and that's what the modern translations do. Some of them leave out words. I mean, they could leave out 1,000 words or 2,000 words or 5,000. Or one version even leaves out 10,000 words. So there are people who think that's a good thing. They just want the simple message of the Bible. Well, if you want the simple message, I guess you could go to Matthew 22, 35, 6, where Jesus is asked, what commandment is the greatest in the law? And in a way, if you just dwell on that, you have come a long ways. That Matthew 22, 36 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. And yes, nowadays we have people who say law and commandments, and that is different from grace. Well, okay, it can be read that way, I understand. So what are you going to do? Skip to the new commandment? Skip to the new testament? That's a lot of people do that. And they say, I only want to read the New Testament. Well, what are you going to do? Say, I'm only going to read John 15:12, where it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So are you going to base your Christian faith on that one? A lot of people think we're supposed to do that. And I'm not going to answer that question for you, because it's a debate. It's a debate. So are you going to say that now this is what you're going to base your life on? The new commandment that Jesus gives us? Well, that is laying your life down for other people, just like Jesus did. How are you doing at that one? Are you laying your life down for others? It's a big subject, and I think it's good to have the entire Word of God to learn from. Yeah, you can simplify this and that, condense the passages, and okay, that's something you might want to do. And if you do, well, good for you. It's just that we all make decisions and we all have consequences. I kind of started out with that. So just be as aware as you can be about making good decisions based in Bible things, based in Jesus, based in your Christian faith. Well, let me go into another area. I have talked with people who want more information about being prepared, And if I had a product, I could tell you, I'm selling this and my product is going to fix all your concerns. But I don't have a product. I have a list of things that will help you to think about being prepared. And that's my free preparedness pamphlet. It is supposed to inspire you to think about what you want to have on hand to be prepared. And so you have to define what your concerns are. What are you concerned with? And then what will you need because of those concerns? So what I've tried to do is think of all the concerns together, have a couple of things that will solve it. We all need water, food, and warmth. So that's one of the things I talk about, water, food, and warmth. But we all have our different ideas for what water means. Are we going to store it in gallon containers or 55-gallon drums? Or are we going to get a water filter? I like the big Berkey water filter. It's a passive system. Well, we all have a different view of what it means to have water. And also, you have to think about what would happen if your water supply shut down. That happens too. How do you get your water home from the stream or the lake that's near you? So it's all a matter of trying to figure out these little details. Same with food. What kind of food are you going to have on hand? Are you thinking about what tastes good and therefore what costs a lot? Or are you thinking about calories and nutrition? And are you thinking about cooking your food? And what if your food supply is mostly grains? You're going to need to cook food a little bit longer. So how are you going to do that? We have a lot of concerns. Speaking of food, food preparation is always an issue. Are you going to use water in your preparation? Another reason to have water. Are you going to wash your hands like you do now if the water service shuts off? By the way, the answer to that is most people, no, they're not going to wash their hands like they would have if they had running water. So that means you're going to need plenty of anti-diarrheal pills. Oh, another part of that is using the bathroom. If the water shuts off, you're not going to flush your toilet normally, so you're going to need a latrine. And for that, I suggest a post hole digger. How many people have one of those? So are you serious about your preparedness? Good question. What does it mean you're going to do? What are you going to have on hand? If I knew the true answer to that, I would know what was going to happen, but I don't know. I only know that there's things the Bible tells us are coming. The other thing, water, food, and warmth. So for warmth, what do we want? We want the first defense or item for that is clothing. Clothing is what we need to stay warm. And so you're going to dress different if you need to stay warm. If you need to stay dry or out of the snow. It's something which we all have to evaluate and then determine what we're going to have on hand, assuming that need. And everybody has a different idea of what each of these categories mean, of how much you're going to spend on each of those categories. And if you're going to spend extra on whatever it is, a lot of people forget about flashlights and batteries, but those are essential too. And of course, rechargeable batteries are good too. But if you don't have a normal electricity, what are you going to do? Have a solar charging system? Well, some people do. Let me go back to clothes. It's very important to stay warm if there's no heating, central heating in your house. So everyone is going to need at least one stocking cap, which covers your head and your ears. That is essential. That helps you to keep your heat contained in your body. And that's been something that's always been an issue. Even from medieval times or Roman times, there were head coverings that were more like hoods. The reason for that style was because they needed to keep warm. You might need to wear two pairs of pants to stay warm. You might need work boots instead of shoes. You might need more dry socks to keep your feet dry. And that saves your feet and saves your boots. It's just always this and that. What are you going to do? Get blankets? Yes, blankets are good. And I always like natural fibers. Especially I like wool. Sure, it's not perfect. And in a lot of ways, it's not as nice as the synthetic materials. But the synthetic materials, if they ever catch fire, they melt onto your skin. And that changes your life. So you don't want that to happen. So those are the basic. There's other emergency things I think I will have to talk about that another day. But do always think about what your concerns are. The extra things. Okay, batteries and flashlights, I said. But what about the extra things that you just might depend on and need, like laundry soap or hand soap or any of those things? Well, think about your preparedness needs, because these days there are plenty of people who are getting concerned about our supply chain and the breakdown of society with hyperinflation that so many people are seeing will come along. A hyperinflation is where this month something costs a dollar, and next month it costs a dollar and a half, and the month after that, $2. That's hyperinflation, and history shows this pattern of it happening when the country in charge prints more and more money. That's what we are doing. It is a pattern that looks like it's coming along, and we're going to be faced with it. So we might be faced with some other things too. A great reset, maybe a revolution, maybe a great die-off. I've talked about that in the past too, but the important point is that we live and we live faithfully to Jesus. That is the point that we all have to be paying attention. Even when the Bible predicts epidemics and wars and famine and earthquakes, we still want to remember that our position in everything is to preach the good news of the gospel with love in our hearts. So for my free preparedness pamphlet, send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And you can listen to any broadcast again by going to www.christtoday.org. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you.